Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
For Power, for AfterBuzz TV, for season 6 episode 12 title, He Always Wins, we have the writer of last night's episode joining us live in studio. Let's go.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now with the buzz.
Oh, there's the remix.
The remix.
Is that because we're running it back? Yeah.
This is where it goes down.
Yeah. Does this still give you guys the same vibe?
Does it still feel the same?
Does it feel the same?
No, well, because we know that Ghost is gone or something.
Yeah.
The grittiness is gone. Yeah.
Or something.
Something.
Yes. Or something.
I think we're going to figure out, though, and on tonight's episode. Though.
Absolutely. And I'm Bam Erickson. You can follow me on all social media at Bam Erickson. And I want to introduce the panel.
I'm Jill Monroe. We'll talk about where to follow me later.
Hey, guys. I'm Robin Ayers.
Jimmy V.
And joining us in studio for the second time, she is one of the co-producers, and she's the writer of episode 612. Please welcome Monica Mitchell.
Yay! Great to have you back, Monica.
Yes. Okay, so Monica.
Yes.
I have to ask.
Of course.
Okay, so according to the streets of social media,
yes,
a lot of people think that why did Paz have to have a full episode about her storyline when we only saw the dad once in season one? We've never seen Junior. And
no, we saw Junior.
When?
At Angela's funeral at 6:02.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So we saw Junior, but people felt like, why do we have to sit and watch a whole hour of Power? And even 50 responded to it. So I just wanted to get that out the way really quick. And, you know.
Yeah, we felt it was really important in the writer's room. Angela was an integral part of this whole series. The whole pilot premise and going forward was about her. We needed to tell an emotional story that included her. And, we're not just ending Ghost's story. We're not just ending Tasha and Tariq's story and everyone else that we're used to following. Mm-hmm. We're ending the entire series. And so everyone that has been such an important part of the series deserves an ending. Mm-hmm. And so Paz is a really important extension of Angela. And we also felt that in building the last 5 or 6 episodes 10 through 15, you know, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of excitement, but also we needed to have a lot of heart in there. And it's a roller coaster. We needed to tell a whole ride, and it's a full picture. And so we thought that was a really critical element of it.
I think we got that. I think we felt that. So I have to ask you, do you even watch or look at social media after
that?
You do. Okay, so you have to admit one of the funniest memes right now is with the little, is with
Arthur hand.
With the handbag and the gun, right? That was Paz. They said that was Paz all, you know, the
episode,
which was pretty funny. But to that point, I wanted to ask you, what is the collaborative effort between the writers and the director? Mm-hmm. When you write the episode, do you envision it that way? Or are you telling the director, hey, I need it shot like this or, you know? Like that.
It's a very collaborative effort. And, you know, depending on the director and depending on the show, it's always different. On our show, the director of our episode was Bart Wenrick. He's one of the executive producers, so I know him very well. Mm-hmm. And we work very well together. And so I got to go out to New York and produce the episode. And, you know, once you get on set, as the writer, I've kind of had my chance to say my piece in the script. Mm-hmm. So anything that I really hoped would be there has got to be on the page. And then I get to turn it over. That's my job. That's part of the job of being a writer, is you turn it over to the next phase, which includes the cast and the director and locations and all the things that are out of my control once I've his send on the script. So once we get there, we discuss things. But ultimately, when it comes down to decisions like how many times are we going to reach for the purse, or you know, where in the room are they going to stand when this action happens, that's mostly between the director and the cast and the actors. And then unless it blocks story or changes something that's really important, then I get to step in and say, like, you guys, we got to focus on this thing that's important.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Which I'm very curious, how much time in between turning in the script to when you guys actually film it?
Depends on the episode. Earlier in the season, you know, we are a little bit further ahead of the train, and so we, you know, we turn in a script, maybe we get a month, we get 6 weeks leeway between turning it in and then starting to prep the episode. Yeah. As you get down to later in the season, you could turn it in on a Friday and they start prepping it on Monday. Wow. So it's it just depends on where we are.
Episodes 11 through 15,
yes.
Were they wrote within these last few months?
No, so we wrapped production on the show back in June. So the writer's room closed, I believe, in February. So we had the scripts were all written by that point. And, yeah, and then it's just in production's hands. Mm-hmm.
One other question before we actually move into the episode is, with episodes 11 and 15 being kind of each character's perspective, you have to go back to the scenes. So when it comes to changing certain dialogue and their perspective, is it like a collaborative effort to know if you're doing episode 12, do you collaborate with the writer who did 10 so that your perspective of pause with the conversation with Ghost is similar to what they wrote in episode 10?
Absolutely, but because we write the scripts in chronological order, mostly what has happened is that, you know, I took episode 10 as my template, and then I knew when we're repeating a scene, okay, this is what we're coming from. Certain elements, we have to remain objective so we recognize the scene as the original scene. Mm-hmm. And then now what we put it through the pause filter. And so what would she have thought? What would she have been saying? What would she have been remembering from what Ghost said versus what Ghost thinks he said. And then once it gets to set, you know, the actors get to take and play with the emotion of how are they going to play this one versus the first time they did it.
When you guys were in the writing room, has the pressure increased from maybe last season to this season now?
You know, we have a lot of eyes on us, so the pressure is always there as far as, you know, we want to give a great show. I think that, you know, we have an internal pressure of we're ending it this year, so we want to end it well. And I know everyone that's watching is very concerned with, is it going to end the way they want it to? But no one more than us. We are so invested in it, and we really want to do something special and, like, feel like we've given everyone a satisfying ending. So the pressure more than anything came internally. But yeah, we feel like we want to do right by these characters and by the story we've been spending so much time with.
I thought you did a fantastic job of how you set up, like, the first scene. So when Paz, after she wakes up from the dream, and then she hears her dad in the other room, you know, he is not, you know, he doesn't know where he's at the moment. And so it really sets up the relationship between Paz, her dad, Angela, because he thinks that is Angela, so he's not quite all there. And now it makes you think about Paz and what she's gone through, because Paz is like, she's the older sister / mom.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it makes sense why she feels the way that she feels, because although she's a sister, she's like the sister mom, so she had to kind of put her life on the back burner because she saw the vision of what Angela, the potential of her, so that explains why she's so infuriated with all of this. So I just wanted to know, what did you guys think of that opening scene of Paz and the dad, and she feels a certain way because he doesn't even know that it's her. He thinks that it's Angela.
I thought, you know, personally, as I along my acting journey, of course, you know that you have to create a compelling backstory whenever you do have a character. So being able to actually watch it develop, I did enjoy it because you start to answer a lot of questions that you started to develop throughout the season, of course. And just the whole idea of that your actual father is sick and ill, and then you start to understand the importance of getting Angela's, you know, money now that she's passed away. Throughout this whole episode, you saw how far Paz was going to go just to actually get that. And then we saw that she ultimately didn't get it. So
moving forward, so then we see more of Junior. So, you know, Junior Junior and Paz and their first interaction is she asks if he had heard the news. Junior says, yeah, they think Angela's killer is going to be president. And she says, over my dead body. And so that's when you start to see her now on the mission of going through where she's going. Anything you guys want to say about that before?
I just want to say this. Similar to how I felt last week, remember when I said that it was important that we got Dre's backstory? Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we had to get it. It just explains so much. I mean, but I know we're. I don't want to go off of this, but I wanted to state this earlier. The beginning, and then we got the answer at the end as far as like Paz's importance of peace and all of that stuff. I think it's just important to put all of the pieces together as to why she even behaved the way that she did this entire, you know, not just season, but the whole show, you know, why she was the way that she was. So I just felt like, because, you know, people did question why do we have to hear from Paz in her entire episode. But for this particular reason, I think that it does. Here's the other thing. So I watched the episode. My husband didn't get to watch it last night. And he said, should I watch it? And I'm like, of course you should watch it, right? You know, first of all, we have an entire week for the next episode. Yeah. So go ahead and watch it. But in addition to that, you know, because, you know, people are going to have their opinions as to whether Paz's character is of that much importance to, you know, watch an entire episode. Sure. But what I think is that it does give you insight to the other people as well. Yep. Like, it is so...
Jacob Warner had me cracking up.
I love scenes like that. I love her going to talk to Tommy, the expressions on Tommy's face. You wouldn't get that without Paz's her perspective. So I thought it was very necessary.
There were a lot of conversations that Paz had along, especially with Tommy and Tasha, that shaped important my theories about certain things moving forward. And just, I felt little clues, perhaps little Easter eggs of certain things based off of her reaction naturally and what I believe to be the other person's reaction to that. But we'll get into that.
I'll save my pity for later. I'll save it. So we see John Mock. He makes an appearance. He and Jacob Warner are talking, and Jacob Warner basically wants information. He wants to know any information in regards to Cooper Sacks, because now, you know, he's had enough. I thought something that interesting that he says is that when he named off all the people that have died because of Cooper Sacks. Why is Cooper Sacks still alive?
Why is the Eastern District still open?
Well, yes, absolutely. And we've played around with it a little bit in previous seasons after Mike Sandoval was killed, that we had to move the case out of the district to the other district. And then, you know, as things transpired, we got to bring some of our favorite characters back. But listen, there is a certain rebound that some people in the world experience because of their privilege. And so I think that Cooper Sacks represents absolutely that. Mm-hmm. And it's also something that we're going to dig into a little bit more as the next few episodes unfold. But Sacks is also, he started off very much on the side of right at the beginning of this season. He was very much fighting for justice, and things have gotten away from him, and he's been able to kind of snake-like dodge things that have gone wrong, and as the other people of his department have fallen, he's been able to say the right things.
Can I be petty and just say, does Cooper, has that always been his intentions? Because in the very first scene when they are in the office, he's always been like this petty man who had a problem with Angela because she's a woman. So I feel like his motive was always to always up her more so than seek justice.
Absolutely. Okay. But I think that working in that environment, you cannot like one of your coworkers for any reason and still be good at your job.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think that that was the line that we're walking with.
Sort of both can be true.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, one thing, I don't like Bam half the time.
That's funny. Speaking of Warner, though, you know what? Why I initially really began to root for him, because he seems like the one who was, when he first came in, he was just like, that sounds crazy. You're dumb. You're doing too much. Sit down. Da, 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 da.
Just common sense.
And even in this episode, I like that he's funny. So I you know, that's just a personal thing. I do, and that's the writing. But of course, the character, you know, he brings that.
Yeah.
But then even Warner is turning. Like, to do what, it's power. Mm-hmm. It's power.
Power,
it's whatever
corrupts.
Power does corrupt. It's like whatever possible to get, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for. So
yeah, when the guy Ott basically like a dick pissing contest when when he came into the office and let him know, like, listen, we're gonna shut this down. That was the motive. That was more so the motive of
ego.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, there's a motive behind it all, but it's still, you know, the fact that you know, you go there, but it doesn't change the fact that I actually still like Warner.
I do too.
Yeah. Hilarious. Some of the delivery. Great. Oh my God, I love him and everything he does, but he has been great in this.
Some of the some of his comments.
Yeah.
And the way that he would not look at maybe Paz when he got on her nerves, or when he called John Mock a fucking twat. Like, is that, was that, did you write that in the script or was that him?
It's a combination. Okay. Some of it is for sure in the script. The fucking twat was an ad lib on Evan Handler's part, which I loved and I wish I had put it on the page.
Right.
But yeah, he brings so much to that character. And, you know, we get to write a character before we cast it. And then once the actor comes in, now we know what his voice is. So we write to it and then he adds to it and it becomes a very collaborative process.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy when actors improv off of your lines, or are you more stick to the script type?
It depends on the actor, but they have to know the right moment. If it's a funny line, if it's something that we can have some fun with and it doesn't change the story by changing the line, absolutely, we love it. And we always have a table read for every episode, and the actors know that that's their opportunity. If something doesn't feel right to them or they want to try something out, they have free rein to give something a shot. If we love it, we'll put it in the script. Courtney's very liberal about making changes in that way. And then on set, you know, we talk things out, they try stuff. For the most part, it's very communicative and open and fun and playful,
So going to the first scene with Paz and Tasha, they had a little back and forth.
Exchange,
So Paz wanted Tasha to go in because they know both information in order to take James down, and Tasha said that she couldn't. What was your thought on that?
Well, she said she would if she could.
She would if she could.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite scenes. Because I wrote it down.
Okay.
Whose idea was it? Because this happened a few times in the episode where they would look to camera and say this as though they were looking at the other characters. She said there's no beating him. He always wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so strong. You know, is that your idea? I mean, I know those are your words, but
ties back to episode 610 where he always says, "I can't be stopped."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he always wins is the title of the episode, and we always grab a title from the dialogue. The actual decision to use that camera angle was Bart, the director. That was what he wanted his signature on this episode to be, as far as really feeling like the audience is in the show, and so we had to pick the moments that we wanted to punctuate those lines.
Oh, that's okay. Dope.
They're sprinkled through, but there's not a lot, but they're
so
very effective.
Cool. Like that was. It's very effective. That's what it was. Yeah.
So anything else? So in that scene, Paz is starting to go on the kind of the
unraveling
the kind of like the take James out campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just thought it was some interesting stuff because she tried to throw it in the fact that that it was James's fault, and she mentioned Raina's, and then she mentioned that he ruined both of our lives, and then Tasha said, "No, wait a minute, hold on, you know, you can walk away scot-free.
Yeah. There's no children attached. Yeah. You can move on with your life if you choose to, basically.
Yeah. But have you guys noticed that this entire time throughout the entire show that we've watched Paz? And we've seen her, this was my perspective. We saw her be frustrated, angry, close to not even really distraught, but just like, you know, so angry and just so, you know, adamant about getting Angela away from Jamie. Didn't this episode really give you the sort of like the fuel behind that? Did it for you? And I'll tell you where I'm coming from, because now, once this goes back to what we were saying earlier, now we have more of the reasons, so to speak, as to why she feels so strongly the way that she does. And then you see it, you know, like even with the whole purse and the gun, you know, thing. I mean, we see it. And so it just, to me, it kind of puts some pieces of the puzzle together for me.
For me, go ahead.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't need to see it to understand and get it. I felt that the setup initially, I understood why we had it in this episode.
Yeah.
But I felt the setup of her character, I understood who she was, her relationship to her sister Angela, that Angela was also helping to support their father and Paz and the nephew. And, you know, I understood that dynamic. And that Jamie was, I mean, who doesn't get? He's a drug dealer and he's married. Nobody is saying, hey, that's a great situation for you, sis. So I didn't need any more of the backstory to understand why she didn't want her sister to go down that route. Mm-hmm. But I did feel like I said, she was
pivotal in other ways. So there were conversations and things that came out of her interactions and her situations that I feel going forward are extremely important and very telling mm-hmm. in how the other people responded to her actions mm-hmm. and how they tried to manipulate her, maybe.
For me, I didn't care. And the reason that I didn't care is because, like you said, we knew from the jump. We knew the backstory. When you look at season one, when Angie went to take Jamie to go see her father at the hospital, mm-hmm. It's so funny how when you are in a state of mind where you don't remember certain things, mm-hmm. When Jamie was on TV, when he was at the when Jamie came in season one, mm-hmm. I mean, he does not like that man. Mm-hmm. It was clear as day. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I needed to see this in order to know this. And then also, I have to drag pause for a second because, again, you keep blaming Ghost for the downfall of your sister. No, you cannot do that. You have to take Angela has to take responsibilities for her action. Right, she yeah. wanted him, and
we saw
and
her get to but that
she
point.
Got right. to that point. Episode. She did, yeah.
and she did.
She got it.
And
yeah.
so,
yeah.
and so, therefore, I'm a firm believer. You have got to stay out of people's relationship. Mind your business. If she wants to go with James, let her go. And then
Bam.
You have to do what you have to do.
Bam.
And wait, hold on one second. And since I'm getting you started, another thing that bothered me is when Tasha referenced how both of them are single moms. Yeah. No, Tasha, you're not a single mother. If the father is paying child support and he is involved in a child's life,
are you a single mother? Are you a single mother?
No, I'm not. Tasha's not
you're
a single
like,
mom. She's not a single mom.
Did James say he was going to cut her off? Did James cut off her business supply for being petty? Like, bam, you can't. No. I understand. You're like, oh, James is around. But James is made very definitive choices. I'm moving on with my life. I release you. I'm mm-hmm. doing this. He said mm-hmm. some very...
He did, but guess
key
what?
Things
he,
that he play said, into all of this.
But he said that the kids are taken care of. So what's the problem?
But he said a lot of things. Right, and he said a lot of things. Thank you, thank you. He said a lot of things, and then as situations change
she's
for
not,
him
she's
and
not
what his best interests are,
okay.
those things change.
All right,
so, yeah.
you know, because Bam has a way of saying
I'm just
stuff.
Drinking my drink over here.
Go ahead, so sit on
I have a question from the chat room.
Okay.
Chizzy B says, or Chizzy B, I'm sorry, says, my question is, how many hours are in a power day? Because she went to the feds three times, everyone's house. She went to, I think, the church twice, Truth two times, follow Ghost, and exhumed Angela's body all before Ghost gets shot at
11:45. It's a little before and a little after, right?
But,
it's not
but
an
you,
exact
But you have to remember,
yes.
Pause, no, okay. no, because remember, Pause went to bed, she woke up and then realized that... that junior
was,
so this was multiple days
it right? was so yeah. There was one very long day. There is we are retelling the story of the last day of Ghost Lives from different perspectives, so mm-hmm. we've got that very long day, and we do play with time on our show. It's something we deal with creatively. We mm-hmm. in New York, you can't get from the Bronx to Brooklyn
no,
and back
yeah.
and, you know,
yeah.
but,
right
so
right.
we play with it but yeah. yes, there is a day two in this episode when she wakes up and finds out that sees the news report that Ghost is mm-hmm. dead, that like then she that's when she goes and deals with Angela's body mm-hmm. and all that is a second day.
Okay. So Paz gets the guns from Angela's belongings. First of all, let's just say this. Courtney, she posted something because when she was on the show, she mentioned something about the gun.
Yes.
That Paz had.
And for some reason, clearly they're checking for us at AfterBuzz TV. So thank you, because everyone's been talking about this whole gun situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they got it from here. Thank you. We appreciate it. But Courtney did clarify on social media that she only said that the gun that Paz had was Angela's and not
she
her
didn't
yeah.
say revolver.
That.
Yeah.
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 yeah. So it's tricky because when we played it back, or specifically me, when I played it back, she says, and I'll give you something.
Yeah.
It was Angela's gun.
Gun.
Right,
we
yeah.
didn't get, you know, who had Angela's gun or anything. And so what I took away from that was that Jamie was shot
yeah.
with Angela's gun, but she clarified
it
that.
Was a good tease on your guys' part, because yeah. when I saw the clip on my social media feed, I was like, what did she say? And
yeah.
I listened to the episode, and I was like, oh, it's, nah. if you listen to the full thing that she's saying, it's you get the broader story. She
right.
was explaining how Paz could be a suspect and why she would be realistically mm. at the club. But yeah.
Understood.
Which, too, Monica, I had received a direct message. Can you just confirm Ghost is dead, Right.
There was a news report that said Ghost is dead. Ghost is dead. Oh, his will was read.
His will's read. Okay.
Listen, if you want more, you know, the rest of the story will be told in the next few episodes.
More episodes.
But there was a lot of things that happen when someone dies.
Okay, so can you explain anything or talk a little bit about why Paz was written into Jamie's will?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Absolutely. So he had Angela in the will originally, as the lawyer says, played by Jeffrey Owens, who was so amazing.
Hey, Jeffrey!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came back in off screen, obviously, after Angela died, and changed it to Paz because he wanted to make sure he knows that Angela is carrying the weight for this family. He does love her. He does care about her. Okay. He knows what she has sacrificed for him, and so he wanted to make sure that her family was taken care of.
What I put down as a note was that it didn't surprise me that he took care of Paz because of those exact reasons, and that he took care of Tommy's mom, even though that seemed to not make sense. It made a lot of sense to me because James is very loyal, even though sometimes it's twisted and it goes other ways. So I felt that those were very James things to do, and it didn't seem unlikely or surprising to me.
And speaking of Tommy's mom, I mean, you know, we got to talk about the line.
Yes.
You know, I got to tell my son or my other son. Mm-hmm. Can you dive into that some
Absolutely.
More?
Absolutely. The other son is Tommy that she's referring to, Ghost being the first son, or, you know, the original son in that sentence. She has referred multiple times to James as her other son, and that is what she's referring to. There's no, like, secret, amazing mystery there.
Yeah. Okay. So Paz goes, her first attempt to go and kill James, which was a failed attempt. Anything else? Anything you guys want to mention before we move on?
Was this when she was inside? This was
No,
the car?
Inside the car.
Street.
Yeah, on the streets. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even catch it.
When Paz attempted to kill Ghost when she was in the car outside. When the ambulance came, do you guys want to talk about anything before I move on?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, because I do have a question, but it might come up, you know.
Okay, so Jacob apologizes to Paz for Cooper botching the investigation, because that's when she came into the building where Jacob was pissed because why is Cooper, you know, why did Cooper get in? Mm-hmm. So from there, Paz goes to Cooper Sacks, and Cooper Sacks drops some nuggets that gets her wheels even turning even more. What did you guys think about the scene with Cooper Sacks and Paz?
I get it. She's off with revenge because of all of the things that she's dealing with. But I guess my code side is like, you don't mess up Angela's name and the money that you know you need to get back at James. You just don't, girl. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's not helping. That's not helping.
Yeah, I personally thought she went too far in this episode.
But I get she was driven by obsession and not wanting to deal with the reality of what Angela was.
Someone asked, Tracy Randolph from Pittsburgh, California asked, why didn't Paz use the money in the box to pay for school? You remember when there's a gun and there's this wad of money? Mm-hmm. Why didn't she just use that money to pay for the medical bill or just whatever it was, because it looked like it was a lot of money.
It is a significant amount of money. I think it's about $10,000 is what we did. Tommy gave it to her at the funeral, if you guys remember that, in 602. But that money is super in case of emergency money. Okay. That is like break glass in case of emergency, and she's not there yet. We get to see the point at which she gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But paying for Junior's tuition is not
going to be...
That's not it. Yeah.
And I can't find the question, and I'm so sorry. I think it came from Kwame, but... the question was, why wasn't it written that Sacks was the one to tell Paz that Tommy killed Angela, since Tommy was the one who told Sacks in the first
place?
Absolutely.
We discussed that in the writer's room, and we decided that Sacks is disempowered. He's fired. He has no ability to take action on this. Giving her that information is just setting her up to get hurt or killed, because there's no action that can be taken against Tommy at this point. So it's just it's loading a gun for her.
Okay.
In a way that's just going to create more havoc.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be something for later, because I do have a question about Paz finding out about that information and Tasha. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'll be able to answer it, but I felt that Tasha lied to Paz, because we know that Tommy's intended target at that point, and he's wanted to kill Angela, yes, but that particular night, he was going to kill Ghost, and Angela got in the way. So I felt that that was a big clue that Tasha purposely misled Paz, and I don't know what it's leading to.
Let's talk about that. Do you think so? You think that she lied? Do you think that she lied? Do you think that she snitched? Because I think some people may think that she snitched to save herself, because we're going to later find out that Tommy found out about she killing Keisha.
That's possible. Wow. Yeah. There's a couple of different things. I thought if my theory proves correct and it's Tasha and somebody involved in ghost killing, I think that she's doing some misdirection to try and cover tracks, to try and put some space between her and whatever, just like we planned. Whoever's plan that is. I don't know.
So can we talk about that? Tell us whatever you can in regards to why Tasha decided to reveal to Paz that Tommy killed Angela.
Yes, I will start off by saying there will be more to this story. So there more is going to be revealed. But for the purposes of this episode and the story we're telling here, if you'll remember, I believe it was in episode 5, 6, 10 5, 10 before Angela was shot. Mm-hmm. Tommy came to Tasha's apartment and he wanted to kill Angela, and Tasha said not yet. So when Angela was shot, Tasha is not lying in this scene because given an opportunity, Tommy was absolutely ready to take that step, and the opportunity happened to present itself in this way. Tasha wasn't in the room when that shot was taken. She doesn't know exactly the mechanics of what happened, although she does know, of course, Tommy was aiming for Ghost, but she doesn't know that that wasn't an opportunity that he would have seized because he told her as much.
But I guess, again, me details, and I might be being petty, cause she said, well, you don't know what Angela could have gotten in between with those two. And I'm kind of like, well, you do, and you kind of know, and you're setting her up halfway, tossing her this information, but tossing her the loaded part. You're sending her somewhere for some reason.
Well, and again, this episode is from Paz's perspective, so we're taking the things that are going to hit her hardest.
True.
So what she's hearing is what the information that's informing her story going forward.
Okay, so Paz and Junior. So let's talk about their relationship and how he went and told Poppy that Angela is dead, and how he then decided that he wanted to take on the responsibility of killing Ghost or having him taken out, being that it's too risky for Paz to do that, being that she's kind of put this whole hit out saying that, you know, she thinks that he did it. What's you guys' take on Paz and Junior's relationship?
Well, kind of to that point, but skipping a little bit, one of the things that bothered me just as a viewer was when she found Junior walking to truth.
Yeah.
She stopped him. She said, I lost Angela. I can't lose you too. Yet she takes the gun and she begins to walk like it's not going to affect you. Just lost your aunt and now you're going to lose your mom if I go ahead and do that. So that bothered me. I'm glad that she thought, you know, obviously otherwise in that scene, but that kind of was a little bit interesting to me. Didn't sit well with me.
Well, I think that again, going back to Paz's story, I think that Junior, although he probably should not have revealed that Angela was dead to Poppy, but it worked out in the end when Paz and Poppy got the resolution. But one of the things about their relationship, the mother-son relationship, was, you know, Paz is beyond. Her rage is beyond, and she's not really thinking rational about a lot of things.
Of course not.
And I think that Junior, although he's young, I thought that he brought a perspective that made sense, because I think Paz fucked up in many ways, because she was putting this revenge more so than on the responsibility of her son. Your son should come more important. Mm-hmm. Angela's dead. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And she's allowing her rage to now affect the future of her son, and her son should be, that should be a responsibility.
When you say affect the future of her son, what exactly do you mean by
everything?
The tuition.
You know what I'm saying? Like, by you not accepting the money when you know you don't have any money, you know what the sacrifices that you did, so you're allowing your emotions to get all into your...
Can I skip ahead 1 second? Mm-hmm. When she came out of the room talking about the will, mm-hmm. when Paz came out of the room,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't accept the money, mm-hmm. but when she went to Junior and he said, am I going to school? And she said, yes. That implies that she has some money.
No, it implies...
Her conversation with Tasha changed her mind.
But she did not go back into the room to accept it, because it looked like she talked to Tasha and went straight to talk to Junior after that.
So she did, but she was in the lobby of the law firm at that point, so we didn't play it, but she went back and talked to the lawyer. It's just this boring story.
Understood.
Paperwork. Right back on that scene, why did Tasha encourage her to take the money?
I think that that came multiple things. One, you're going to see a little bit more to that story, but also she and Paz have set up this sort of alliance back in episode 602.
Yeah.
You know, she helped Tasha out by getting rid of that information with the cell phone, and Tasha, in
Tasha
a way,
gave her
cares
money.
About
yeah.
her. She, you know, yeah. she says in that first scene that they have together, I guess I'll always owe you, or in the second scene they have together, I feel like I'll always owe you too. Angela died saving my family.
Yeah.
So it's returning the favor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Paz and Jacob Warner. So what do you guys think about when Paz decided that she, once she got the information about Angela in cooperation with James, then she decides that she wants to go to Jacob Warner and she wants to she wants to go and have the body dug up to get the phone that she put in there in order to take down James. So since they can't take him down for killing Angela, she wants to now risk her sister's reputation
and pension
and also that she can take James down for something. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I already said.
Yeah. I mean, sheer desperation. Mm-hmm. I mean, revenge. That was actually that line that which she said back and forth with it was Paz and Blanca when she said you want or she says I want revenge
Warner,
and then was it Warner?
Yeah,
okay,
it was Warner.
And then she says revenge or he says you want revenge or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the epitome of that.
Epitome, yeah.
Yeah, like.
And then what do you guys think about the perspective of when Paz went to see, when she went to see James? What do you guys think about that perspective?
Oh, inside of...
Inside Club Truth?
Inside Truth, yeah.
Well, go ahead. I
nothing specific.
Oh,
go ahead.
This is actually, it's not about that. It's about the little eavesdropper. What is up with Ramona and why is she so open off of James? If I'm, if the timeline is correct, they haven't even had sex. Like, I want her to chill out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their conversation in the bathroom was interesting to me, but I just look at Ramona, I'm like, okay, what's with you? Mm-hmm. And are we going to find out a little bit more about her or later or no?
There's a little bit, there's more of Ramona coming. Also, we've set up, you know, her backstory when we originally introduced the characters that she's had this, she was married to this political person who, you know, cheated on her and had whatever backstory. And so we've already set up she doesn't have the smartest, wisest taste in partners. And so whatever about James is appealing to her is probably mimicking her pattern. And also the scene that we saw where she's eavesdropping is, we saw that scene in 610. So we, you know, that led into something else originally. But yeah, I think she's an interesting character, and she gave us an opportunity to, for Paz to ask the question of what is it about this man
that you're so attracted to?
Right, and what Ramona says, some people are just unstoppable. We see it from Paz's perspective, but in Ramona's mind, she's seeing this fantasy of this person who's got an incredible story, who's ascended to these heights, who's
handsome,
a dream,
and
well
put together, charming.
I mean, I was rooting for Ramona. Like, I've been rooting for her until she sat up there and said, Paz, I want to thank you.
Right.
And you said it gave
me more.
You made
me real good.
But she also, in Ramona's defense, for you know, for the character, she thought Paz was being earnest in that scene, so she felt probably in a way that she was giving Paz a gift.
Relieved.
Like,
Yeah. You know what?
I was like,
you
shorty
go, Monica. way to wrap that up, Monica. And by the way, is that a power shirt
this
that you were
is,
wearing?
And this is...
oh, that's what we doing in the studio?
This
okay.
This is what I got here. I brought my swag. But this is not official show swag. This is actually from Gabrielle Union's line. So
if
you guys want the shirt,
New York
is
coming
out.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe there's a collaboration
New
in
York company. Okay,
send us some swag, Gabrielle. Okay, anyway. So it's nice. It is.
And
very fitting. Yes, Bam.
And then going to really quick. Yeah. When Paz went to Club Truth to shoot James, was that the same?
Clock.
Was that the same location where Pink Sneakers tried to shoot Ghost?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So
where he wound up shooting?
Yeah. Back to
yeah.
Okay.
So Tommy and Paz. When Paz goes into when Paz goes frantically into Tommy's apartment.
Tommy said he was going to have to call the police on her. That just shows you how out of
if Tommy got to call the cops, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
I like it.
Do you guys think that Tommy is a little regretful for killing Angela? Because every time it's mentioned, he has this look on his face. And when she mentioned to him that... Angela didn't deserve this, what happened to her. She's a good person. Is just a close-up of Tommy's reaction. Is he regretful, or is it just a moment that he's having about...
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good question, Bam. And I think that, and I could be wrong, but it feels like in hindsight, Angela really is a good person, but he knows that he did that out of spite, like to get at Ghost. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the kind of like push and pull that we're feeling with him, that maybe he does regret it.
And also just because sort of the thing you learn in life, or, you know, the lesson you're taught as a kid, you do something out of anger and it still doesn't fill that hole that you're
that
feeling.
Void.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
So I think that, you know, because again, though we haven't seen it, we forget that Tommy's very much alone in these moments and whatever is going on with him. So,
and I think that we, you know, I don't know this from personal experience, but killing someone is one thing, and then seeing actually their loved one who is grieving in front of you is a whole different thing. And we played that out a little with Tariq, who killed Ray Ray, and then he had to see Destiny, Ray Ray's niece or cousin, later. I think that's it humanizes the act that we are portraying. It's like it brings it a little bit more back to life.
Yeah, I mean, and to piggyback off of that, we know Tommy, I mean, obviously he's a killer.
Sure.
Stone cold killer. But but also he's
a
lover. He's a lover. He's a lover. He loves family. He is loyal and all of those kinds of like characteristics too. So I don't think it's
a protector.
I have some questions regarding Tommy. I put in my notes, why did Tommy leave? Ghost told Tommy that he cannot exist without them. His daddy, Holly, Keisha, his supplier, Jason, BG, they're all dead. So,
where did he go?
Or just why
did he leave?
Why did he leave? Why do you guys think he left?
I thought it was a good gem to possibly set up that he could possibly be the shooter. So he was like, let me get out of town.
I don't think he's a shooter only because he's already attempted to kill Ghost. So to revisit that, I'm looking at you as I'm saying this. it doesn't make sense. I'm like you. I think Tasha has something to do with it.
Well, I think Tasha's in partnership with someone. But I think Q is her alibi. But that's another story. Mm-hmm. I feel like Tommy leaving does not necessarily have something to do with Ghost. I feel like the whole thing with Benny, Lisa Marie still has... We still don't know about what's going to happen with the locket that Proctor gave her.
Will we find out about that?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But I will tell you that we have made every effort to answer any question that could be remaining. Nothing was done unintentionally in crafting these episodes, and I know that the audience is very frustrated that they don't know who shot Ghost yet. We're a couple episodes in, but we wanted to create these conversations. This is, you know, we're not just ending one character story. We're ending a whole series.
So can you respond in any kind of way as to why Tommy left?
No, that story is absolutely going to be told, and you'll see it.
Okay. Okay. So then,
just chill out. We got three more episodes.
Monica's
all your questions are going to be revealed.
Another, so Dante Davis says, so is James dead, LOL? Regina Williams says, Ghost is dead. And then somebody said, I need to see a body. I'm sorry.
We're still waiting on the body.
We're waiting,
and the funeral.
Guys. We're all waiting.
Is it going to be a funeral?
I can't answer that.
Okay. Another thing is, how can Ghost, who's dead, shut down Jacob Warner and get him fired?
The theme of the show is power. So just because Ghost is dead, it doesn't mean he exists in a vacuum. Listen, he's a political candidate. So Stephen Ott coming into Warner's office is on behalf of the Democratic Party. So because Ghost is now a part of a much bigger system, that is something that has even more power than the systems we've been dealing with, that extends his reach.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this one was funny.
Great.
It's literally what I just said, but Kwame says, ask her if Ghost, James, and Jamie is dead too.
Okay, that is a great question.
Their theories, and I'm tired of it.
So I'm going to ask...
It's not symbolic.
Yeah.
It's not symbolic.
I'm going to ask another question y'all going to answer, but who is Cedric the Entertainer's character in this movie?
You will find out.
Okay. But I
that
have
was a good
to,
one, though.
I have to ask because they were on the rooftop. Okay, so... So with these next episodes, we have Ramona, we have Tate, we have Tasha, Tommy, and Tariq.
And Sax.
Mm-hmm. So Cooper Sax is technically,
technically not a suspect.
Ramona's technically not a suspect.
Okay.
So, you know, somebody was like, she probably shot Ghost.
Uh-huh. A lot of people are thinking that.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a good one. I'm sorry, were you going to elaborate?
No,
okay. Bobby Nell says, my question is, what was Tommy trying to hide from Paz? He was stopping her from moving further into his apartment the whole time she was talking. And the funny thing is, I thought that. I mean, maybe it was just a whole, like, hold on. Maybe it was that. But it felt like there was more... to something else something in the apartment that I don't know.
I think that was a very keen observation by a good viewer, and to keep watching because that may pay off.
I also see how she's so smooth with these answers.
I did notice on one of the other angles. We did see that Tommy's apartment still looked the same, so he hadn't moved yet. But it does appear that he's in process of getting ready to do something.
Yeah,
just based off.
But there has to be it in playing with time. You have to think she went back after she went to the lawyer's office for wills. Wills come, you know, after a burial, perhaps, or like a not significant, but a period of time generally will have passed to get to that point in the process. So that was just my
That is true. The
kind
will
of time observation.
The will seemed super quick, but because it's her perspective,
right.
Who's to say how long that is? Because Tasha, I'm not being petty, but she looked good. She had a new wig.
Tasha had her glow up.
She had a new wig.
Like, Tasha looked different.
Yeah. Because the money's flowing back.
Let's be clear. Now, Tasha might be broke in Tasha's mind. I don't even say broke. She might be. Yeah. But in, let's take it
there's
from our
rich people broke.
And she probably broke. Still has money, right. But just on a there's lesser rich, level broke, than what she's used broke. To.
We laughed about that on set with Elizabeth Rodriguez, who plays Paz, and Tasha Noturi, who plays Tasha, because when Elizabeth came to Tasha's apartment and she's like, look at around, he's taken everything. She's in this beautiful West Village apartment.
She
took everything,
arched window, floor to ceiling.
Right.
And she still had on nice designer boots, although she's in all black. Yeah. So we have a bunch of questions. Do we go to our power plug after page two?
Keep talking and I'll wrap it up.
Okay, so we have tons of questions that we want to ask for you. And then in regards to some of the other things in the storyline, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that we did not cover?
So you said that we're wrapping up all the angles, so that means that there is a potential for things like Lakeisha's earring or Lakeisha's death to come back up, right?
There's for sure those potential things. For that,
Okay.
You know, just had to check in with that.
And then, what was the significance of revealing Jesse Williams as Cash's, Cash as a father? Is that something that...
That was an opportunity to get a great actor on our show, and we had to cast that character, so we wanted someone interesting,
Very
cool.
And then let's see, you won't tell me about Sid.
I'm sorry, I just all out of turn. Okay. It's Hollywood Baby asks, where do you think where do you think Angela and Ghost would have ended up had Angela survived the gunshot wound? Do you feel like they would have still gone their separate ways or have found a way to eventually make things work?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you guys think of that. I don't have an answer for it, but I think that surviving a gunshot is a very traumatic event, and I think living through something like that could change a person's entire life and trajectory, so I don't know that I would predict where that things would go.
I don't think it would have worked, just because, the whole series, we tried to see them work it out the whole time without a gunshot, you know? So now we're just adding in the gunshot.
Yeah,
so.
And the whole series is based on with her coming into the picture while Ghost and Tasha's marriage were starting to be on the verge of...
Yeah.
Of
unraveling.
Unraveling due to the perspectives of where they were trying to go. So I don't particularly see that. Someone asked me a question on Instagram that I'm going to, and they want to know...
I have a question for you as a writer. In writing this episode for Pots, were there any elements that you wanted to sort of add in personally that are slight, but that maybe you felt filled out Paz as a person, not just as I'm Angela's sister, I'm here to sort of be the emotional cross or sort of that bearing to give her a story of herself? Like, I thought the touch about her name was really nice, and that story was very sweet because it, I guess it gave her some grounding as a person.
Yeah.
So were there things like that you wanted to put in?
Thank you for asking that question. I love that question. And it, there were. The one that comes to mind immediately is the scene when she goes to see Cooper Sachs, and she mentions, it was a bit longer in the original script, but she mentions, like, she fought for Angela her whole life to get out because she was the smart one, and she had all these opportunities, and so Paz gave up a lot of things to really fight for Angela to have a different life that wasn't accessible to her. Mm-hmm. So it really goes to a far way to explain why Paz has taken so many actions, and that she is a character who takes it on herself to take care of the people that she loves, and explains why she's, you know, pursuing James the way she is, and why she's taking care of Poppy and raising Junior and all of these components. And also, Elizabeth Rodriguez is a phenomenal actress.
Yeah. She did a great job. She did an amazing job.
Yeah, just all the anxiety levels building up and just,
And then, can I also just defend Paz just for a second?
For the first time?
Yeah. Yes, listen, I'm petty. You know, listen, I'm petty, but I'm equal. I say, I, you know, the one thing about Paz is, you know, again, imagine how you feel if you have been the epicenter of your family, and all that you've done and all the sacrifices that you made, and then your father, who's now on the verge of some type of dementia, doesn't recognize you. He only knows and sees Angela, and then when he sees James, like, imagine how that makes her feel.
Overlooked, completely overlooked.
Yeah. So she's been overlooked her entire life, and then her son, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he seems to have the Angela gene. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has the potential to go to law school, or, you know, so he has that gene. So imagine how she feels while all this is unraveling, and now she's dead. Mm-hmm. See, I
love that, and I think that's also an element of why this is an important episode, even though it's very different from our traditional episodes, which is that Power, a lot of people talk about it, it's so real. People, you know, they like seeing the portrayal of the life on the streets, but this is also a very real story that a lot of people live when you're taking care of parents, when you're losing family members. Like, it's just another way of accessing what the criminal world and what the street world looks like. Mm.
So we do need to wrap, but I'm just going to go through the questions really quick. Will we find out what Ghost left Kate in the will? I just think it's money for her drugs.
More coming.
Okay, more coming. and then does Tommy find out about Lakeisha before the Italians get him? And this is from Paul_Ride at Instagram.
It's a great question. We are obviously setting up Tommy as a suspect, so you'll learn a lot more about him too.
Okay.
Yep. Probably a lot of those questions are to come, answers to come.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Monica, for joining us. We love when you come and visit us. We love everything you do. Monica will be working on Power Book
2.
Yeah.
Ghost. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, can I say it? I don't know. I'm hoping then. So more exciting things to come from her.
And just for clarification, Power Book 2 starts 48 hours after the ending of this. Is that true?
It starts shortly.
Shortly afterwards. Okay.
Congratulations to you, Monica. Yes. You did a fantastic job with this episode.
Thank you guys.
I think that you did, just last thing that I want to say regarding that, you brought us, you brought Paz all the way through, and then she had gotten some relief, but you took her out giving more anxiety. That's how it was ended. So I'm curious to see where this goes, but you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Yeah. Let everyone know where you guys can be found on social media.
At the Jimmy V.
You can find me at Robin Ayers.
At Stiletto Jill everywhere.
At Bam Erickson. Thank you again.
And Monica, where can we find you?
Instagram at Monica.c.Mitchell, and on Twitter I'm at Monica C. Mitchell.
Awesome.
Thank you again to our guest, Monica Mitchell. Thank you for coming and chatting with us and just letting everyone know the questions that they had to know. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to Power Book 2, and thank you guys for watching.
Thanks
next
for the
week.
Live
stay
chat.
Tuned.
Three more episodes.
Good night.
Shout out to squads.
Founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.